Good evening, this is Ray Smith with a warm welcome to the Jazz Decades, a weekly collation of radio rhythms, rather fondly selected and more casually presented from more than 50 fascinating years of recorded pop and jazz lore. And this evening, our transistor trek, as it were, includes breaks at New Orleans, Chicago, Portland, and New York for such sounds and talents and aggregations as Roy Palmer and the State Street Ramblers with some rent party rouses from the South Side, circa 1931. And further, it'll be the piano jazz master of the French Quarter, Monsieur Armand Hug, in a set of ballads, rags, and blues, and from way out there in the upper left-hand corner of the country, a place we don't often visit, we have Don Kinch and his ragtime band, and here in the initial stanza, we recall the swinging glory of the big band by request in the final days of 1937. Yes, and in this opening segment, we're going to feature six Brunswick Masters from December 30th of 1937 by Art Shaw and his New Music, as they were then labeled. Actually, this is Artie's last session for that particular label, for the Brunswick label, for which he had been recording for about 18 months, starting out originally with sort of a pseudo-Dixieland outfit augmented by a string quartet. Shaw recorded and fronted this noble experiment for about 11 months before reforming with a standard three-trumpet, two-trombone, four-reed, four-rhythm setup. And this, then, is the Shaw Band, about 7 months formed, actually, and still honing into swing shape. And in about seven more months, Shaw would cut his first Bluebird sides, including the Begin the Beguine chart by Jerry Gray, and the band would zoom to national prominence. And for now, from Brunswick, our opener was an Art Shaw composition, his own arrangement, entitled The Nonstop Flight. He also recorded that shortly for Bluebird. Tony Pastor featured on tenor saxophone. And so, one of the most successful scores of 1937 was from a cartoon by Walt Disney entitled Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and included such tunes by Frank Churchill and Larry Morey as Someday My Prince Will Come, Hi-Ho, It's Off to Work We Go, With a Smile and a Song, and these next two selections. First, a ballad sung by Nita Bradley, which in the film or the cartoon was sung by the Prince, I Bring You One Song. And then we shall hear Tony Pastor singing the novelty, Whistle While You Work. Hits from 1937 of the studio of Walt Disney.
Sing yourself a song. When there's too much to do, forget your troubles. Try to be just like the cheerful chickadee and whistle while you work. Light up, get smart, tune up, and start to whistle while you work.
Music from the studios of Walt Disney, and two from Snow White, and one song followed by Whistle While You Work. I was just thinking about the second sequel to that. Could have been called The Son of Snow White Returns. Anyway, we got more movie music coming up now. Artie Shaw, throughout his recording career, chose his tunes very carefully. I think he had most of the control over his tunes. It seems to me that he constantly turned first to Broadway and then to the great music teams who were writing tunes for Hollywood in the late 30s. And we have two now from the 1938 RKO musical, which was called Radio City Rebels. And this is music by Ali Rubel, Rubel. He was originally from Middletown, Connecticut, and he spent his early career playing saxophone in dance bands, and he was good enough to earn a chair in the prestigious Paul Whiteman Orchestra. And he embarked on a most successful composing career in 1934, working for Warner Brothers first and then later for RKO. And he wrote such well-remembered tunes as Lady in Red, Gone with the Wind, Fairly Well, Annabelle, The First Time I Saw You, and dozens more. And Ali Rubel sort of capped his efforts with an Academy Award in 1947 for a tune called Zippity Doodah. And here's a nice tight arrangement of a foxtrot by Ali Rubel with words by Herb Magnuson. Nita Bradley sings, There's a New Moon Over the Old Mill.
My heart for you.
That's a rather a neat old little chart. I like that. Whistle while you work was a routine type of thing, but that was a good chart. I don't know who did it, although Jerry Gray did a lot of Shaw's cuts about this time, because he later went with Miller. And there's a new moon over the old mill. Ha-ha. And it's still there. I know the moon is. I don't know about the mill. Anyway, we're going to complete this session with two more. And there were six recordings on December 30th of 1937. And the final two. First, we have from Radio City Rebels, another Ali Rubel tune. And Neater Bradley will encore here and say goodnight with Rubel's tune, Goodnight Angel. And she sounds a good deal like Martha Tilt. Of course it isn't, but I wonder if Artie Shaw hired her because of her similarity to Martha Tilton's voice, who was then singing with Benny Goodman, Arthur's great competitor on clarinet. That was the big, 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 big issue back in those horrendous days of 1937 in the halls of high schools and college dorms. Shaw versus Goodwin, who was the best? Finally, Artie Shaw will render his instrumental treatment of an old-timer, I'll Be With You in Apple Blossom Time, which came into real prominence a few years later when the Andrews Sisters recorded it. The composer here is Harry Vaughan Tiltzer, one of the most prolific and successful giants of Tin Pan Alley of any decade. He wrote this in 1920, and it was popularized at that time by Nora Bays, who was also well known for popularizing Shine On, Harvest Moon with Jack Norworth. And this will feature some of that smooth Shavian clarinet. Johnny Best is on trumpet in the rhythm section in a bit of a Jan Savitt-like shuffle meter. And so now, good night, Angel, and I'll be with you in Apple Blossom time. there you have a request fulfilled and one that we thoroughly enjoyed responding to. I still personally harbor very warm and live memories of that fledgling Shaw Band at the old Roseland State Ballroom on Massachusetts Avenue. Here in Old Beantown, the place is torn down now, and of course the band no longer exists. But we have these wonderful reminders of what it was like. And we just heard all six tunes recorded by Shaw in his final Brunswick session on December 30th of 1937. A most brief but pleasing moment in this continuing span of jazz decades. And now to continue, we have an unusual and carefree and completely unpretentious type of jazz from the Chicago South Side. Some people call this music South Side. Some call it skiffle. Its instrumentation is strictly on the rural side with the use of kazoo and occasionally washboard and once in a while a country fiddle. The product is strictly city jazz, though. This session will feature a trombone legend, a misty, obscure name barely mentioned in the history books, a very expressive and wonderful jazz trombonist by the name of Roy Palmer, almost forgotten today, except by the deeper digging collectors, and primarily because his recordings, for the most part, were on labels like Jeanette and Champion and the Perfect labels, many of which were so very rare, and practically solely for that reason, Palmer is not ranked with Kid Ory or J.C. Higginbotham or Jimmy Harrison or Charlie Green. But as you'll hear, he was a vigorous and exciting trombonist with a classic tailgate style, laced with satire and humor, and enhanced by a large barrel house tone that was so pleasantly burred and fuzzy at the edges. And as you will hear, he could swing mightily. And we have selected six tunes from a nine-tune session in Richmond, Indiana for the Champion label, which took place on March 19th, 1931. And these are all Chicago jazzmen, except for Roy. Well, he is too, as a matter of fact. We'll get into that a little bit later. And we have the great Jimmy Blythe on piano, a rhythm section unto himself. And we have a banjoist who is listed as one Ed Hudson. He will also do a couple of vocals. In the front line, we have Alfred Bell, who could blow fine cornet and does on many recordings. But on this particular session, he sticks strictly to washboard and kazoo. The reed man on alto and clarinet, and on at least one tune, tenor saxophone, is supposedly, or at least is suggested and listed in Rust as Donnell Howard, fine reedman. And, of course, as we mentioned, Roy Palmer on trombone. And we're going now to open up with an old blues. The boys called it the South African blues, and it always reminded me of Beale Street Mama. And after the ensemble statement of the theme, Roy will take it on 16 bars on trombone, followed by the strange, intriguing, and rather delightful sound of Alfred Bell's kazoo. He gets a sound on a kazoo like no one else. And then to the exhortations of a band member, Jimmy Blythe takes one of his rollicking piano solos. And then comes the alto, Donnell Howard. And somebody says in the background, that boy plays a wicked sax, don't he? And the banjoist, until this time, has been playing a strong rhythm role with his stiff cording, then takes a string solo, single string solo, following which the front line, which consists of trombone, clarinet, and kazoo, take it out. Medium, easy tempo, great informal jazz of 1931, the South African Blues. Thank you. Well, as your introduction to the State Street Ramblers of 1931 with Roy Palmer on trombone, and we've got four or five more of those lovely old beauties coming up here. The Jazz Decades, Ray Smith, and our subject, the State Street Ramblers of 1931. There were several groups that recorded under that name. This is the one with Roy Palmer and Alfred Bell on kazoo. For many years, Roy Palmer was a complete unknown individual. Over the years, I think somebody found him actually alive in Chicago. He died in 1964 and got some details on his background and life. And actually, John Chilton, in his fine, indispensable book, Who's Who in Jazz, had some comprehensive information on him, and that was fine, because this is a gentleman that should have been better known during his lifetime. He was born in New Orleans in 1892, so what else is new? You almost know that with that tone. And he played down there and evidently moved to Chicago early, around 1911 or so, because he worked... Well, I'm not sure of that. No, 1917, he left New Orleans with Lawrence Dewey to move up to Chicago. And he played with Richard M. Jones and Willie Hightower and King Oliver, and enjoyed a successful career during the 30s, during the 20s. Huey Smith and Doc Watson were two more bands that he worked with, and also briefly with W.C. Handy. In the early 30s, he left full-time music and worked for the Missoula Oil Company, but played regularly in that company's brass band. And then in 1940, he opened his own laundry business in Chicago, and during the 40s and 30s, he gave lessons from time to time. In the 20s, some of his pupils included Preston Jackson and Albert Wynn, who went on to jazz fame of a sort, and he passed away in January of 1934. And we're going to turn now once again to March 1931 and a recording of some poignancy and rustic beauty. This is the venerable old evergreen Careless Love by Handy, starting out with a few church-like chords on the piano, and then enters Roy with one of his patented bone schmears. The kazoo carries the melody in the first chorus, with the alto and trombone playing some rather thoughtful counterpoint. That is a lovely passage. And then we have a fine trio following, with the clarinet completely rewriting the melody. Just a delightful passage there, with Roy sliding around the background. And this chorus really becomes sort of a duet between the kazoo and the clarinet. And at times it sounds like two clarinets, which is sort of a testimony to the, well, the rather legitimate tone that Bell could elicit from that nickel kazoo. And towards the end, Bell enters for a solo using his falsetto tone and kazoo. The real successful kazoo singers had good falsetto voices. Red McKenzie is a good example of it. A non-falsetto voice is that of Tony Spargo, who used to sing in the low register. But when you hear a good tuneful kazoo, he's usually singing falsetto. And let's see, this solo by Bell, the kazoo solo towards the end, is rather mournful. It's a powerful solo, rather well-controlled and steady in tone, and it's just about as valid a jazz solo as any brass or reedman ever created. And so we have here a record of some charm and honesty, Careless Love by the State Street Ramblers. Thank you.
what can our love will do? But see, what can our love will do? Just see what careless love will do. He'll steal your home away from you.
That's a delightful record. I suppose for any fully trained, academically minded professional musician, not used to the idiom or the sound, that might be a little rustic, but there's a great deal of wonderful musical value there. Certainly is unpretentious. It's real people-to-people jazz. Careless Love by this wonderfully rustic but meaningful group, the State Street Ramblers. Now we're going to play two. First, Kentucky Blues. As we have mentioned, Arthur Bell's Wah-Wah Tone on the Kazoo is a very definitely, I think, a legitimate jazz tone, a jazz sound. He obtains a tone and a fullness, and even on certain scale levels, a richness that is very rare in kazoo playing. And as we mentioned, the only other kazoo or blues blower that I ever heard approached him in this respect was, of course, Red McKenzie, who was equally talented. This is a blues called Kentucky Blues, as we mentioned. It's a rather gay and abandoned blues. It's not a blue blues, it's a happy blues. And Palmer particularly good on this side. In ensemble, he plays the most titillating tailgate smears and phrases. His solo around the third or fourth chorus is a very tightly controlled creation, full of short staccato phrases and legato slurs, and he uses the dynamics of the trombone very thoroughly. He's not any back-alley musician. He can use that horn very well, and he knows how to. And yet, this is a solo that's completely spiced and laced with humor, which is an important thing in traditional jazz, even when you're blue. Also, listen to the wonderful, gleeful things he's saying behind Bell's Wah-Wah Kazoo solo. He ranges from the lowest pedal notes to the extreme high register. That's Kentucky Blues. Then we're going to follow that with an up-tempo ballad called I Want to Be Your Lovin' Man, and this is more of the same. And so from March 19th of 1931, Champion Jeanette, rather, Masters by the State Street Ramblers of Chicago. Thank you. I Want to Be Your Lovin' Man. That sounds a lot like Doodly-Doo. And preceded by Kentucky Blues. And this is State Street Ramblers. These are beautifully remastered. This is on Microgroove out of Glen Cove, New York. Bernie Klotzko and his Herwin label. And they do a magnificent job. There's a group of collectors that put this label out, and they all get their 78s together and remaster them. Dick Spotswood, for one, and the Whalen, what's his name? Dick Whalen, I think it is. And they mention the condition of the records that they do remaster. And on all but two, on this particular album, they run E plus to new, all champions, and two of them are E minus. And this is really preserving the music. A lot of these originals are in very scarce single or double numbers throughout the country, the world perhaps, and by remastering these and putting them on a Microgroove available for any and all collectors and jazz buffs, why, that does a great deal to make sure this music is perpetuated and lives on and on, and it's something worth preserving. And we'll throw that address, the Herwin label. It's another one of those labels that isn't widely distributed, but we'll throw out Bernie's address a little later on in the program, as we tend to do on these hard-to-get issues. Now we're going to turn to a great old Chicago classic, and the State Street Ramblers took this with them to Richmond, Indiana on St. Patrick's Day. No, it was the 19th of March, actually, in 1931, down to the Jeanette Champion Studios. This is Oh, That Georgia Grind, 16-bar blues theme, minor key, very haunting tune. And this is a powerful blues like Careless Love, but it's got an entirely different feel and tempo. The melody in the first chorus is carried by Bell's Kazoo, and then the second statement of the theme will be carried by Roy Palmer on trombone before Al Bell comes in with a raucous, wordless vocal, except for the stating of the title. Bell, if you listen closely, you'll notice that the kazoo and the washboard are going at the same time. That just takes a little bit of strapping up. Let's see. The fourth chorus brings that unusual, intriguing duet again of clarinet and kazoo. Palmer on trombone and Bell with his falsetto. Kazoo split the next two choruses before the ensemble takes it out for a rag chorus. Now, this is, let's see, Palmer comes in again for a solo, which is very typical of his style. It's a rather grunting, snorting type of trombone solo, completely lacking in pretension and sophistry. So now, closing and listening to a moment of happy and good feeling and jazz excitement, the Georgia Grind.
Oh,
grind. Now we got a closing tune here, a Chicago favorite that was well recorded in the 1920s. Wingy Manol and the Cella Boys did it, as did Johnny Dodds a couple of times. It was written by Frank Melrose, who produced a lot of record sessions, which probably accounted for it being recorded as often. It's 12-bar blues phrase, and the State Street Ramblers almost turned it into a jam session. Kind of starts off loosely with one or two of the boys missing the downbeat, but they soon close ranks, and the Barrel House Stomp, as it's called, gets off in a quick and breezy tempo. And from Roy Palmer's gutty, rather flamboyant, two-chorus trombone solo, we move to Don L. Howard and a flying alto saxophone solo. We heard him somewhat, not in any straight solos, but he's heard to advantage here, and he adds greatly to the aesthetical success of this session. And then Ed Hudson, who is reportedly the banjoist, does a single string solo, and then out they go with a sort of wild every man for himself rag out ensemble. This is perhaps the other end of the emotional scale from Careless Love Blues, which was so poignant and touching. This is practically all hokum and hilarity. Great, exciting, albeit obscure and rustic, classic jazz. The Barrel House Stomp by the State Street Ramblers. Okay, the State Street Ramblers and closing out Barrel House Stomp. And these are all available on a Herwin, H-E-R-W-I-N, LP. And their address is P.O. Box 306, Glen Cove, New York. Box 306, Glen Cove, New York. Herwin Records. Oh, they have a great catalog. It's moldy as the Dickens, but very fine remastering. And they've got a fine Punch Miller thing. Oh, what a Punch Miller album. We'll be bringing that forth on a future program. And The personnel included Alfred Bell, doubling on kazoo and washboard. Also Donnell Howard on reeds. Roy Palmer, one of the best. He, incidentally, inspired to some degree. You'll hear his style in Turk Murphy. Turk Murphy thinks a great deal of his style and his way of playing trombone. And Jimmy Blythe was the pianist, and one Ed Hudson is suggested as the banjoist and vocal. There's only four men, and they made a lot of music. As attested here by these last recordings, brought to you by the Jazz Decades with your host, Ray Smith. Well, we have a couple of hi-fi smoothies coming along for you after station identification. We have Mr. Armand Hugg of New Orleans doing some fine solo work on an LP he made in 1975. And also, we're going to bring back Don Kinch and the Conductor's Ragtime Band of Portland, Oregon, and their great LP, which really several people have asked me to repeat and indicate the address. That'll be coming forth here on the Jazz Decades right after station identification.